Bill and Allison Mincaro, Saturday morning at 9 on the Hill Country Patriot.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now here's Bill and Allison Mincaro.
Thank you, Harley. We appreciate that.
Welcome.
Welcome. 8:09 on welcome. A Saturday morning. How are you doing, Allison?
I'm recuperating.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You've had some sick days the last few days.
I have.
Yeah. Well, but you're feeling better now?
I am.
Good. Good. So was it... couldn't have been flu because that doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
It must have been COVID, right?
I know.
Everything is COVID.
I know. Really. But I think, in all honestly, what I had was... it started out like as the flu, like I had a fever, but that just sort of devolved into a cold. Mm-hmm. So I've been going through lots of Kleenex.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Feeling better. Our verse of the day is from Ephesians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. George Whitefield said, be much in secret prayer. Converse less with man and more with God. Oh, we've got a lot going on in Hill Country this morning.
Do we?
I mean, this weekend, yeah. Things that you need to know about.
Okay.
The grapevine. You can... Do I need to be a little more specific? There we go.
I thought you wanted me to play Christmas music.
No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that and a lot more in this morning.
Including my favorite Christmas songs.
Oh, Allison's
which you're
going to
hear
song.
Every Saturday until Christmas.
Okay. You're in charge of the board. What can I say? Well, you...
Yeah, well, you did very nicely. You did very nicely record it for me.
Yeah, I did.
And put it on the board for me to play.
I did.
So I'm just thanking you. Thanking you for
oh,
that.
Oh, you are welcome. Keep it going. Keep it going. Well, I don't mean start it over. Just keep it going.
Well, I stopped it, so I had to start it over.
Oh, well, don't stop.
See, these things don't work that way.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to keep it under my talking here, as we discussed earlier.
Did we?
Yeah.
I've been sick. That's my excuse.
Okay.
And I'm sticking to it.
All right. Well, you're hearing it on the Bill and Allison Grapevine. We've got the Hunt Community Fine Art Holiday Market is going on today from 10 to 4. The Hunt at the Hunt Pavilion, which, of course, is the intersection of Highway 39 and FM 1340 in Hunt. There'll be community artists for a holiday market, original paintings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Something for all budgets. So that'll be today from 10 to 4 in Hunt at the Hunt Pavilion.
You talked about FM 1340.
Yeah.
Remember what Ridge Floyd
said? Song.
He had a song mm-hmm. that was FM 1340.
Yeah.
And he said that realtors would play it when they were taking their clients out to show property.
Oh, play a song?
On FM 1340.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
And he sadly died a few months ago.
Oh.
I think it was late last year.
Well, the Ingram Christmas Parade and Tree Lighting is tonight at 6 p.m. at Ingram ISD. There'll be a lot of floats made by your local businesses in the city of Ingram. Festivities, Santa, Christmas tree lighting, carols, hot cocoa, cookies. Parade begins at the Ingram ISD, 510 College Street, and follows Ingram Loop to Ingram Volunteer Fire Department. The Luckenbach Christmas Bazaar is today. There'll be free fun for the whole family, shopping from noon to 5, and pictures with Santa from 2 to 5, Christmas tree lighting at 6, and there'll be festive Christmas music all day. That's in Luckenbach.
Can I have my picture taken sitting on Santa's lap?
I mean, sure. 2 to 5 in Luckenbach. You want to go to Luckenbach. Right. And there's no address for that, by the way, as we know. If you've been to Luckenbach, you don't need an address.
I don't think anybody has an address in Luckenbach.
I doubt it. Actually, the official address is Fredericksburg. Did you know the postal address for Luckenbach is Fredericksburg?
No.
Yeah.
I thought Luckenbach had a post office.
I thought so, too, but I don't know. The Bernie Lighted Christmas Parade starts at 6 p.m. today, going from the fire station to the parade's end at River Road. And in Fredericksburg, the Texas Ranger Heritage Center at Fort Martin Scott is giving kids an opportunity to see Santa today. Boy, Santa's going to be busy today. From 2 to 4:30. He's going to be in, Fredericksburg and Luckenbach. So he'll just pop back and forth.
Okay.
Well, he can get, the reindeer.
He can fly.
Yeah. So that's 2 to 4:30 for Santa. And you can meet Texas Rangers, take wagon rides, and enjoy hot drinks, food, and crafts. Kinderfest, also in Fredericksburg, is today at 10 a.m. at the Pioneer Museum, 325 West Main Street in Fredericksburg. It is free. It's a wonderful tradition. It's been going on at Fredericksburg for over 45 years. Children aged 10 and under are invited to bring a stocking to hang on the fireplace and enjoy a Christmas story, fun, songs, refreshments, and possibly Santa will stop by. He's going to be in the Fredericksburg area anyway.
Oh, wow.
And there'll be stockings filled with goodies according to the German tradition.
My neighbors, when I was a kid, not a tiny kid, I was old enough to babysit. My neighbors were from Austria, and they had real candles on their Christmas tree. Which they lit.
That is so European.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very very ancient. Yeah, we do not recommend that.
No. Well, actually, and then it turned out that he was a Nazi and he was fired from his job, so they moved back to Austria.
Didn't he fight for Hitler? You told me
he did. Yeah. He did.
Okay, nice neighbor. Neighbor to have.
Yeah, really.
That could be a sitcom. My Nazi neighbor.
Ooh, how about that?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, going on with that. Kinderfest at the Pioneer Museum. That'll be, when is it? It's free, and it'll be today at 10 a.m. And then tonight at the Pioneer Museum at 6:15, the annual Singing Christmas Tree. Volunteer community chorus to present a family holiday concert. And there's no charge for that, but they would appreciate donations. Bring a long chair, and so plan ahead for that. This is not a come-and-go type program. Santa is planning another stop in Fredericksburg today to visit with local children, hear their Christmas wish lists. He will ride through downtown on a Fredericksburg Fire Department fire engine before heading back to the gazebo on the Gillespie County Courthouse Square. He'll visit with children to find out what they want for Christmas and to hand out free bags of holiday goodies. And that starts at 10 a.m., sponsored courtesy of the Fredericksburg JCs. And there's, of course, no charge for that. The Bandera County Cowboy Christmas Parade will be from 11 to noon today on Main Street. And also in Bandera, the Bandera General Store is putting on a children's art contest. And bring the children's holiday artwork to the general store to be in the contest by December 10, which is this coming Thursday. There are rules, so contact the Bandera General Store to find out what the rules are. And we have, more Christmas. This is all Christmas stuff today. The Albert Community Club will host a bingo Christmas party at 6 p.m. today at the Williams Creek School in Albert. Bring your favorite holiday appetizer or dessert, a $20 bingo prize, and your beverage of choice. All money raised will go to the Stonewall Chamber Christmas Food and Toy Drive. The Medina Community Christmas is tomorrow, Sunday, at 4 p.m. at the library. Singing, the band playing, baking contest. Santa will be in Medina as well. Boy, is he busy.
Boy, really?
Please bring a dish to share to the Medina Community Christmas tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Sunday, in Center Point, the Christmas party in the park will be at 6 p.m. And I have a little more on that here. Christmas carols, drinks and cookies, story of Christ's birth will be told. And I said Santa, lighting of the Center Point Community Christmas tree. That's tomorrow, 6 p.m. in the park. Wow. I don't think we've ever had so many events going on in Hill Country.
I know.
As this weekend.
See, I get tired just hearing them.
Well, don't get tired. Go to some of them. That'll innervate you. 8:18 Hill Country Patriot time. Oh, by the way, all these kids events, these are great, because a lot of these events are for kids, and this is just fabulous, absolutely fabulous. I did come across an interesting statistic the other day. Studies, and we need to trust the science on this, Allison. Studies show that if your parents did not have children, there's a high probability you won't either. Think about that.
I know you've told me that before.
Well, but not on the radio.
Really?
No, I don't think so. Maybe so. Who knows? Well, some good news here. The Texas grid, the electric grid, is expected to meet winter demands this year. Because the ERCOT, which, do you know what ERCOT stands for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do? Okay. Because a lot of people don't. And they know it's something to do with electricity. It's the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. We know how reliable they were.
Right.
Well, was it two years ago?
Two years ago this coming February. Okay. So it's just shy of 2 years.
Yeah. But ERCOT says it expects Texas's power grid will meet demands, assuming typical winter conditions. They've been working on adding resources to bolster the supply after the February 21 storm left more than 4.5 million Texans without power. 246 people died during that.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that many.
And probably other causes somewhat related to that. Well, I know the rural areas around here, you get out to Mountain Home in that area, talking to Stan Dries, he said that there were people without electricity for a month.
I did hear that. Yeah. We were very fortunate. We were only without power for 12 hours. It was from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And the unsettling thing about that is when it happens, you don't know if it's that it's only going to be 12 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a whole lot
worse.
Yeah,
I have no idea how long it's going to
be. And I was wondering if that was a brownout, a rolling blackout.
Probably was, because it was almost exactly 12 hours.
Exactly.
And it was from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so it wasn't, or no, was it night or day?
No, it was daytime.
Daytime, yeah.
Which, I mean, it would have been better while we were asleep, but night.
They don't think about things like that. They've got to roll it, if it was a rolling blackout, it has to roll.
Right.
Various times.
So. Yeah, but that was sort of my theory, but mm-hmm. we don't know.
And ERCOT says if peak demand should reach the 2021 levels, they would ask consumers to conserve electricity, prepare for possible outages. But don't forget to charge your electric car. Isn't that nuts? Isn't that absolutely nuts? Oh, man. But we have so many things to talk about during the show today. We're going to talk about CNN. They have a new announcement. We have an interview with Gary Kopp, part two of our interview. He's going to be talking about the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, the Great Reset. And this guy is a walking encyclopedia of this kind of stuff. And he has predicted many things years before he predicted them. They are now coming to pass. So this guy is Gary Kopp.
Yeah, he's fascinating.
Yeah, he's fascinating. And we'll have part two of his interview coming up a little bit later in the show. There's your favorite song, Allison.
Okay, I am so glad it's Christmas season because I get to play over and over and over again my favorite
Mariah
Christmas
Carey.
Song.
Yeah, and what's her octave range?
5 or 7.
A lot more than mine.
A lot more than mine. She has a 5-octave vocal range. And anybody who knows anything about music knows what an octave is. And she has the ability to reach notes beyond the 7th octave.
So some of her songs are very popular with dogs.
Oh,
the Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, HillCountryPatriot.com, 104.3 and 102.1. And we're on Saturdays, 8 to 10 in the morning. Or you can hear us anytime, first couple of TexasRadio.com.
That's right.
Now, here's a, I saw this on, this was posted on sort of a meme, I guess, on Facebook, and I thought it was great. One of my favorite road signs in the world. Bill does not know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
If you're traveling on I-10, which most of the people in our listening area live quite near I-10. We personally are about 9/10 of a mile away from I-10. But if you're traveling west on I-10 and entering Texas from the east, this sign tells you that you're going to be in Texas for a long time. The sign says Beaumont, Texas, 23 miles. El Paso, 857 miles.
Yeah.
And that tells you a whole lot about Texas. For those of us listening, those of you listening to us who don't live in Texas, that gives you a little idea how big Texas is.
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening over the internet, which we have a lot of people that
do
at HillCountryPatriot.com. We've heard from people in Germany, Singapore,
Dubai. So we have people listening to us whose countries are not as big as Texas.
Oh, very, very true. Very true. Yeah, it's people don't realize how large Texas is. It's closer to drive from El Paso to Los Angeles than it is to drive from El Paso to Brownsville.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is. And I was born in Dalhart, Texas, way up in the panhandle. And pretty much everybody in Dalhart knows this, but a lot of people don't, that Dalhart, and I believe it's six, might be seven, I'm tending to think it's seven, but is closer to six or seven other state capitals than it is to its own state capital, Austin. And that includes Cheyenne, Wyoming. Dalhart is closer to Cheyenne, Wyoming than it is to Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. So that's something. 8:29.
We were just in Austin
a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
And we stayed
went to
at
a concert.
We stayed at the iconic Austin Motel.
Yes,
which
very
was
iconic.
Built in 1938.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool place. Stupidly expensive.
I know.
We stayed there once just to say we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
But apparently hotels in Austin are expensive.
Mm-hmm. They are. I noticed that. So. Well, the reckoning has arrived. At far left CNN, the Communist News Network, as I call it, they're announcing hundreds of layoffs. Chris Licht, L-I-C-H-T. Why don't people have names you can pronounce like Mencaro? That's
yeah, really. I was just going to say you're a good one to talk about that.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I my maiden name was hard enough to pronounce.
Walton.
Borland.
Oh, that's right. It's your mother's maiden name.
Yeah, really. But I married somebody with a name, you know, far worse.
Thank you. The great name. Goes down in history. Anyway, Chris Licht, is the new chief of lies at CNN. He's released a memo this week and warning a lot of people that...
Actually, maybe if you listen to CNN, you know how to pronounce his name.
No, he's the head of... The head of CNN. He's not on the air.
And well, but people probably talk about him on the air.
Oh, yeah. I got fired by Chris Licht. No, I don't think so. Anyway, he this week he released a memo that said basically a lot of you employees might want to learn how to code on a computer. They're dumping a lot of people because they're in serious trouble. Their ratings are in the toilet. When your ratings are down, advertisers don't want to advertise with you. They're right. You know, Fox is beating the pants off CNN. You know, so he announced this on Wednesday, you know, of course, it's not long before Christmas. And, you know, some people are saying, oh, that's terrible to do that right before Christmas, these poor people. Well, you know, yeah, I guess. But these, remember, CNN employees don't believe in Christmas.
Oh, good point.
Yeah,
good
point. They hate Christmas. How often do you hear Merry Christmas in the halls of CNN?
It's probably not allowed.
It's probably not allowed. Yeah, they hate Christmas. They hate everybody who loves Christmas. You know, now look, if you and I were let go during Christmas, okay, I get that. That would be bad. What would be, actually, I can't take credit for this line. John Nolte at Breitbart said this. He said, it would be cruel to lay most people off at Christmas, but what would really be cruel is laying CNN staffers off on May Day, the international communist holiday. That would be devastating to them. I love that. But what did they expect? Their ratings are in the toilet. They're congenital liars. I mean, okay, let's go through. This isn't a complete list by any means. The Russia collusion hoax. Russia. Hands up, don't shoot hoax. Remember that one? Holy, well, you're not into Antifa stuff, Allison. That was a hoax. Jesse Smollett hoax. The Covington KK kids hoax.
I do have a story about hands up, don't shoot. I need to do a little bit more research and get it together, so I won't do it this week.
Okay.
But it's a really fascinating and very scary story.
Okay. The very fine people hoax that they said about Trump praising the people in Charlottesville and some that are very fine. That was a hoax. The global warming hoax. Russia. Trump trashes the troops hoax. There was a policeman killed at the most, quote, mostly peaceful January protest hoax. You know, it was mostly peaceful, and there was no policeman killed. A policeman, I think he had a heart attack a few weeks later, which people do.
I think it was a few days later.
A few days later, which people do. The Kyle Rittenhouse hoax. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of them. Oh, remember the border agents whipping illegals?
Right.
That was a hoax.
Exactly.
The noose found in NASCAR. That was a hoax. Trump assaulted Secret Service agents and tried to grab the steering wheel. That was a hoax.
Yeah.
Trying to frame Trump supporters for the Paul Pelosi assault. We still haven't figured out what that is. They won't release the officer's video cam.
I think it was his gay lover. I'm not being fun. I'm not joking.
Yeah. No, I'm not either. Yeah, I think it was. They had a, you know, gay fight, and he was assaulted. And I mean, there was so many weird things about that Paul Pelosi thing. You notice how it's not gotten any news coverage. It was like off the radar in 24
yeah.
hours. Police won't even release the body cam footage.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So what's going on there?
Yeah, and apparently, and it's unclear that they won't release who actually called the police.
Oh.
And the police arrived, and Paul Pelosi, instead of rushing to the police saying thank you for rescuing me, he backed up toward his supposed the guy who was supposedly beating him up.
Yeah, toward him.
Yeah. He went toward that guy and away from the police.
Yeah. So anyway, that just part of all of the hoaxes and lies that CNN has put forward. So, not once, as far as I know, has CNN broken a consequential news story that didn't turn out to be a lie.
That's true. Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
So, you know, sorry, folks. You're going to have to pay for your Teslas someplace else if you work for CNN.
Talking about Tesla, Alyssa Milano, who is a very, I don't know if she... She's an actress, but I haven't seen her in anything for years. But she's a very, very prominent lefty actress, and she was so mad that Elon Musk bought Twitter. She's so mad that Elon Musk bought
Twitter
that she sold her Tesla, and this is not a joke. She sold her Tesla and went out and bought a VW.
Yeah, an electric VW.
Yeah. Okay. And tell people where VWs came from. Hitler.
Hitler, Nazi Germany.
Nazi Germany. So she sold her Tesla for a Nazi car.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can give some advice to CNN employees who've been fired. When you go in to interview for your new job and they say something like, okay, the starting pay is $40,000, and later it can go up to $80,000. What you say is, great, I'll start later.
that's good. I like that.
Okay.
If I ever need to look for a job.
That's right. Exactly right. Well, let's see what we got here.
Well, I have some good news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We like good news here. we have so much bad news.
This might be temporary, but we don't know.
All right.
Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness plan.
Yes.
Has been put on hold by the Supreme Court.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. It's being taken to the Supreme Court, so until they hear the case, it's on hold.
Well, that was a hoax, basically.
Yeah, really.
Talking about hoaxes with CNN. That was a total ploy. He announced it right before the midterm elections just to get votes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Total ploy. And they never... right after the election, the whatever department that handles the applications to forgive student loans... They said, we're not accepting any more applications. We're closing it down. So it's an obvious hoax to get votes. I don't know. 8:37 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison, and we're glad you are. Thank you very much. And let's see. Oh, here's an interesting little factoid about Anthony Fauci. We haven't heard about him for a while. He's announced he's retiring.
Mm-hmm. I think as effective the end of this year, I believe.
Oh, goody. And he'll take his... He is, by the way, the highest paid employee in the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
He makes more money per year than the President of the United States.
And his retirement paycheck is going to be a whole lot more than your paycheck that you get for going to work every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Retirement is, over $300,000?
Is it?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, well...
I might be slightly off, but that's in that ballpark.
Well, when Alice and I worked on Capitol Hill as congressional staffers, fellow who worked with me went on to become the head of congressional relations for the NIH, National Institutes of Health. And that's where Fauci works. That's where Francis Collins, who is Fauci's boss, who makes less than Fauci, by the way. And recently I had lunch with the fellow, and I'm not going to name any names. I don't want to get in trouble. But I said, how did, because he prepared all the congressional testimony for Fauci and these people, Francis Collins, that went to the Congress. So he prepared all the testimony. And I said, how did you handle the question, Dr. Fauci, how do you justify making more money than the President of the United States or any federal official? And he said, believe it or not, that was never asked. He said, we were scared to death it would be asked. And he said, we had some answers, but how do you answer that?
You know? The other answer was, he'd been working there for
so
long.
Oh, he's been there a long time.
But we love dearly this friend, so we had to tread very lightly on that subject at lunch because he likes Tony Fauci.
He likes Tony Fauci, and he likes
so we had to keep
Francis Collins.
Yeah, so we had to keep our mouths shut.
Yeah, but anyway, Fauci was deposed recently, and believe it or not, he had to go, so he did it. And he was asked, let's see the question. Oh, yeah, he was asked, what study or studies changed his mind about masks? Okay. Now, you may not know he changed his mind about masks. He urged people to not wear a mask early in the pandemic, COVID-19, unless they were showing symptoms. Here's another, just among his many public statements for that, he wrote in a February 5th, 2020 email that, quote, the typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. I mean, if you ever worked with drywall and you have a real heavy-duty mask on when you work with drywall, but you can still see, if you take it off, you can see inside there's still some residue drywall residue that has penetrated the mask. And that's a lot more effective mask than the diaper that you know wear, that everybody wears on their face. And he admitted it. He said virus is small enough to pass through the material. Speaking of drywall, I can think of three things that don't hang themselves: drywall, Christmas ornaments, and Jeffrey Epstein. Anyway, going on with the story. About 2 months after Fauci said, don't wear a mask, it's stupid, it doesn't do anything, he reversed his position and said, everybody should be masked up regardless of their symptoms, even if you're outdoors, you know, walking in the park by yourself.
Or in your car. We're in Texas. Your truck.
There you go. They're not cars now.
I had a car for a while here in Texas, and I finally sold it.
Well, people are laughing at you.
And got an SUV.
People are laughing at you.
Well, first of all, I couldn't see anything because I had the sedan.
That's true.
It was a really cool car, but
too low.
Yeah, it was so low.
Yeah.
so I sold it and got an SUV.
Fauci was under oath about a week ago, and he was asked, what study or studies changed his mind about masks, which is what he claimed. He claimed it was studied. So he was asked, okay, Dr. Fauci, what study or studies changed your mind about masks? He couldn't name any. Couldn't provide any studies, couldn't cite any studies. And actually, many studies on masks don't support using a mask, including a CDC study. Said masks are not effective. Anybody with half a brain knows that, you know, wearing a diaper on your face is not going to.
Well, we were told by two doctors, a husband and wife, who are both doctors.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
At the very beginning of this whole masking thing,
mm-hmm.
and they said, even people who were wearing like N95 masks, aren't wearing them properly, because what they told us is that they have to every year go into the hospital and be fitted. The mask has to fit that well. So they would have to go in and have their masks fitted.
And do you remember what she told us? They're both MDs. And what she told us about how they fitted the mask?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that. Yeah, they put some noxious...
some foul-smelling gas.
They
put you in a chamber. They put the mask on. They fit the mask. Then they put you in a chamber and release some foul-smelling... it's, you know, harmless, but it's very foul-smelling gas. And if you don't react to it, the mask fits. But if you react to it, and if you didn't have this mask on properly, you would react to it. And she said, and we have to do that once a year. Yeah. So you think buying a diaper at CVS is going to help you out?
Yeah.
8:44 Hill Country Patriot time. We got going. We got, we're looking, we're coming up after our short break. We're going to be talking with January Wiese, who's head of the Texas Hill Country Winery Association, about a very exciting program that they're putting on, and it's going on right now, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to be talking about a whole lot more, including our interview with Gary Kopp, part two. The man who is predicted
coming up after 9 o'clock.
That'll be in the second hour, so you got to stay with us for that. The man who has predicted so many things that have come to pass in the world.
January Wiese. January is the executive director of the Texas Hill Country Wineries. Welcome, January, once again to our show.
Hi, Bill and Allison. Thank you so much for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're such an interesting guest, and you represent what has become a very large and exploding industry in Texas, particularly the Hill Country, and that, of course, is the winery business.
And, yes, it sure has.
Yeah. How many wineries do we have this now? Do you know offhand?
Of course. So Texas Hill Country Wineries has 65 winery members right now.
Wow. And how does that compare to a few years ago?
Well, when I first started with the association about 13 years ago, we had 27 wineries.
Yeah, that's growth. And also... Yeah. Also, you're very aware of this, but some of our listeners may not be aware that Texas Hill Country is now the second most popular wine tourism destination in the United States. Isn't that something?
Yes. It was named that from Orbitz.com, second to Napa. a few years ago, meaning that we have the second most visitors coming specifically for wine to wine regions across the country, which is pretty cool.
It is very cool. Well, you know, as I've said to you, that Texas is for wine and Napa's for auto parts. I mean, that's obvious.
For sure.
Okay, well, you've got an exciting event going on right now. Why don't you tell us about it?
We do. Yes, we have the Christmas Wine Affair happening November 28th through December 23rd. We have over 40 wineries participating of our membership, and it's a great chance to get out and visit new wineries, revisit some old wineries, taste a couple wines, and just kind of get in the holiday spirit.
Well, how does it work?
So we have two different tickets. We have a couple's ticket, which is $100 for any two people, married, dating, sisters, neighbors, whatever that you want to come out with, and then individual tickets for $65. You get a digital passport, which is your barcode, and that's scanned at each winery. You can visit up to 4 wineries a day, and you get complimentary tastings at each, and then a 15% discount on 3 bottle purchases at each winery.
So you can visit 4 wineries a day, get free tastings, get 15% off on bottle purchases. You say 3 or more?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the... If you didn't have the passport, what would be the cost of a tasting?
So a typical tasting ranges or averages about $20 per person. So you're looking at $40 for a couple to visit one winery and taste. So that couple's passport specifically is paying for itself within the first two
for
visits,
sure.
Especially if you're purchasing wine.
Oh, for sure. We love the wine trails. And Allison and I do, and we had some friends visiting from out of state, and they are very much into wine, and they were only going to be here 3 days, I think it was, but we bought them a couple's passport because it was certainly, it was worth it for just the 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, and I want to point out, too, having done these passport wine trails, you really get to meet some really interesting people. You get to meet sometimes the winemaker is there or someone else very knowledgeable about wines. And you also get to meet other people in the winery, whether they're, you know, visiting, just doing a tasting, or they might be on the passport. We ran into the woman who's on the cover of your...
Yes.
So we've actually made some friends doing it. So it's a great social event as well. And
it is. Right. And, you know, you mentioned getting to meet owners and people who are knowledgeable. So many of our wineries really focus on education about wine and Texas wine. And so you're going to learn something every visit.
Absolutely. There is no question of that. Well, how do people sign up for the wine trail?
Tickets are available on our website, texaswinetrail.com, and right there on the homepage, there is a button for the Christmas Wine Affair that will lead you direct to that page.
And the dates are?
November 28th through December 23rd.
Okay, so it's going on right now. So go to texaswinetrail.com and sign up for your passport tickets and take advantage of something really, really unique, which is Texas Hill Country Wineries.
There you go.
Thank you, January.
Yeah, January. That was great. We appreciate that. And
unfortunately, we couldn't go wining this week.
You were too sick. You were too sick.
I was sick.
Yeah. But you're better now.
I am.
Better now.
I am.
Oh, you know, I was listening to January, and I don't know why I thought of this, but I was thinking of socialism. I guess because, well, we don't, this Texas wine trail thing is like the opposite of socialism. We'd never have this in a socialist country. First of all, you know, nothing's a bargain in socialism. What do they say about socialism? That you can vote your way in, but you have to shoot your way out. And, you know, I'm just too old to live under socialism, I think, is what it is. I'm addicted to luxuries, you know, like toilet paper, electricity, food, clean water, shoes, you know, things like that. So I don't think I could handle socialism.
I don't think so.
8:54 is our Hill Country Patriot time. I asked you to do something else, and I don't remember what it was. Oh, that's what it was. Those two two hotkeys that I mentioned, lower left. This has to do, by the way, we didn't warn people at the top of the show, which we normally do. Hope you're not offended, but we are non-Bidenary here at the Hill Country Patriot. And Alice and I are definitely non-Bidenary. But I was thinking, you know, Biden should pick Fetterman, the guy who, you know, was just elected senator. Unbelievable.
Pennsylvania.
What is your line about that, Alice?
Well, actually, I got it from somebody else. They said, which is worse, belonging to the party that runs a candidate who has a mental defect, and it's no fault of his own, he had a stroke, yeah, but he does have mental, you know, cognition problems. So which is worse, being in the party that runs a candidate like that, or being in the party whose candidate was defeated by someone with mental deficiencies?
There you go. You know, there you go.
Which is worse?
Well, I was thinking Biden should pick Fetterman as his vice presidential candidate. Get rid of Kamala. I mean, she's a liability.
Oh, really?
Put Fetterman in. That would be a Biden-Fetterman ticket. I think that ticket would be a no-brainer.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America. Call me up and said they're going to go all electric by 2035. Every other company has signed up to do the same thing. They're going to go all electric by 2035. By
2035. We're going all electric by 2035.
Okay.
I guess he'll still be president. I don't know. Oh, on a serious note, lawyers for the Crown Prosecution Service, or CPS, of England and Wales tried to have a Christian street preacher convicted for quoting the Bible.
Wow.
He quoted the Bible. He said to a lesbian couple, it says in the Bible, quote, that homosexuals do not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, when I preach, I only say what is in the Bible. When my accusers told me they were in a same-sex marriage, I was concerned for them. I had to communicate the consequences of their actions based on what the Bible says. I wanted to warn them, not out of condemnation, but out of love. I wanted them to know that there is forgiveness through the love of Jesus. And this man is named John Dunn. He's a veteran and a throat cancer survivor, this pastor, preacher. Police referred him to prosecutors for saying that to a lesbian couple. And the prosecutors said to the court, whether a statement of Christian belief or not, the court is being asked to consider whether the language has the potential to cause harassment, alarm, or distress. There are references in the Bible which are simply no longer appropriate in modern society and which would be deemed offensive if stated in public. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as bad as we think things sometimes get in the United States, they're a whole lot worse pretty much every place else in the world.
Oh, they are. They are. And what he was quoting was from the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, it lists homosexuality among many other sins, okay, not being tempted to be homosexual, but carrying out the practice, acting on it. And it says, and such were some of you before you believed. It doesn't say you're going to hell because you're homosexual. It says you were practicing these, and the whole list, fornication, a whole list of other things, before you believed, Paul says, the Holy Spirit through Paul says. And he's saying, but after you believed, you're a Christian. And, of course, you can sin, but you're forgiven in Christ. So that's the whole point of this. But, no, they're prosecuted, and they're saying, the prosecutor in England says, there are references in the Bible which are simply no longer appropriate in modern society and would be offensive if stated in public. And that's where we're going to, unfortunately, I'm afraid. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Gary Kaa, a second part of our interview with Gary Kaa, who has predicted so much years ago predicted so much of what's going on now. He's an amazing guy, so you got to stay tuned for that. And we'll.
And I've got a really shocking story that I'm going to tell you that you'll be very surprised to hear.
Oh, well, good, Allison. We'll be looking forward to that as well. And is it too early to say Merry Christmas?
No, it's not.
It's not? Good. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll be back after the news break with more stuff. We've got Gary Kaa. We've got some...
KRNH HD2, Kerrville. K271CH, Fredericksburg. K2A2BI, Kerrville. The Hill Country Patriot.
The Hill Country Patriot.
Now, the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
And here we are. I'm Allison.
Yes, you are. And I'm Bill.
Uh-huh.
The Allison Show with occasional comments by Bill.
Exactly.
And we are non-binary. I want to make that clear. Non-binary.
Okay. Okay. While you're talking about Biden, I promised a story.
I'm biding my time.
I promised a story. And this is a very weird story. And it has not been covered, which I do not understand. I heard Tucker Carlson make a reference to it the other night, so I looked it up, and it is absolutely true. The Biden family, Sleepy Joe and the doctor, spent Thanksgiving at Nantucket, and apparently all their kids. Anyway, so the Secret Service agents rented 5 vehicles from Hertz, and less than 24 hours after the Bidens left, all 5 of those SUVs burst into flames.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
And it was, it wasn't like they were all the same vehicle that had problems. It was a Chevy Suburban, Ford Explorer, an Infiniti QX80, a Ford Expedition, and a Jeep Gladiator. And I've seen the video. These vehicles are totaled. Their engines just blew up. I mean, can you figure out how on earth something like that would happen?
Sounds like a bomb to me. I saw the pictures too.
Yeah. Those vehicles were destroyed, and the Secret Service is not following up on it.
Now, why would they not follow up on something like that?
Yeah. Now, Hertz is, obviously, since it's their vehicles that were destroyed. But, yeah, the Secret Service.
So there's no explanation, no theories, nothing?
No, absolutely none. And if you see them, it's not like it's a car bomb. And if any of you watch the TV show Monk, you know Monk's wife was killed with a car bomb. And I used to live someplace where car bombs were common. I did.
Iraq?
No.
Where did you live?
I lived in West Virginia. And the part of West Virginia that I lived was near Pittsburgh. And car bombs were not uncommon.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would that be?
In all seriousness, it was the mob.
Oh.
It was the mob.
Oh.
But with the car bomb, the bomb is underneath the passenger compartment,
mm-hmm.
so that somebody, you know, puts their key in the ignition and turns the key, and then the bomb blows them up. But in these Secret Service vehicles, it wasn't like that. It wasn't the passenger compartment that was blown up. It was the engines in all 5 of these vehicles. Isn't that?
That's a weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if somebody had been...
Maybe it was just one vehicle, yeah, okay.
Well, exactly, but it's all 5 of them.
All 5 that were used by the Biden family.
The Secret Service.
Secret Service, okay.
And it sounds like no other Hertz vehicles. It was just those 5.
Well, cars don't just blow up.
I know. And all 5 of them, apparently all at once. And if someone had been in the vehicle... it's possible they would not have been injured because it was I take that back. They probably would have been injured, but they wouldn't necessarily have been killed because it was the engine compartment that blew up, not the passenger compartment. So it's just, that I think is the most bizarre story, and I don't understand why it's not getting coverage. And I sent this story to a friend who actually works for the State Department, and she's in Washington, D.C., and she wrote back to me, and she said, "I thought this was a joke."
Mm. No, it wasn't a joke. I've seen the pictures of the vehicles. Yeah. 9:10 Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison. Well, we're digging more and more into this story, and it is really, really disgusting. if you want to hear a disgusting story, children as young as 14 years old start pursuing surgeries for becoming transgender. According to Carrie McGregor, a psychologist at the Boston Children's Hospital Gender Multispecialty Clinic, she admitted that during a presentation that people as young as 14 are pursuing mastectomies or breast implants. We've got an audio clip of, again, Carrie McGregor at the Boston Children's Hospital.
Youth are also as early as like 14 or 15 are pursuing surgeries at this point. Top surgery or chest surgery is the most common at that age.
And McGregor also went on to note that the hospital has a, quote, young child clinic. She said, I think we've seen, I've got the audio of this, I won't tell you, but this isn't the only time. Well, let's play that one, Allison, pre-post.
Things that we do that I think is quite unique in our clinic is we do see young kids. We have a Gen Z clinic, which is our young child clinic, and we see prepubertal youth in that clinic. We do see kids down to, I think we've seen kids down to 2 or 3, but most of the kids that we see are 5, 6, or 7 when they first come into this clinic.
Yeah. That's just totally disgusting.
I don't,
totally disgusting.
I mean, 5, 10 years ago, if you had said this, you'd be...
Yeah, three-year-old children are going in to be transed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just disgusting.
Where did these people come from to do this? I mean, it's just Satan opened the pit of hell and let all these people out?
Well, and why, like you point out, all of a sudden, I mean, a few years ago, 2 years ago, we weren't hearing this.
I know.
And I have pointed out to Bill... I was a tomboy when I was a kid. I liked the guys in the neighborhood better than the girls, so I hung out with the guys, but never for a minute did I want to become a guy.
Yeah.
And today, if I'd been like that, my parents would have taken me in for drugs to trans me.
Yeah, instead of taking you in for mental health counseling, which is what should have been.
Stop it.
Anyway, Dr. Jeremy Carswell, the director of the Boston Children's Hospital Gender Multispecialty Service, he received financial compensation from Endo Pharmaceuticals, one of the main producers of Suprelin LA, a drug that is commonly used off-label as a puberty blocker. So they're being paid by that big pharma to do this. Another presentation hosted by the Fenway Institute featured a therapist who writes referrals for those who want to undergo sex change operations. The therapist explained she wants to act as an ally, tries to get surgeries approved, quote, in a few sessions as possible.
But generally, what I recommend is that you do the minimal amount of time necessary for capturing the information that you need. And the reason, again, goes back to reducing barriers for transgender, nonconforming, non-binary, and diverse folks so that they can move forward as quickly as they can into their next step. When we're saying we have to see them for multiple sessions, that sets up continuous barriers and really perpetuates the system that trans, non-binary, and gender diverse folks need to be put to the test to prove who they are and what they need. And we're not in the service of doing that typically. So the less sessions, the better. I typically will do the session in one visit.
One visit for a child who wants to come in for a sex change operation.
Mm-hmm.
And the
this is so disgusting. I just can't.
I warned you at the beginning. This Fenway Institute, who she works for, her institute also published a guide that teaches doctors how to break. Literally, listen to this: a guide that teaches doctors how to break down parents' opposition to child sex changes.
Wow.
Meanwhile, the president-elect of the World Professional Association on Transgender Health, if you can imagine such an organization, compared sex change operations to removing a mole.
People come into surgery having expectations that it was going to really change their life. And if you think about it, it really shouldn't change your life. It should just It should just be about making things better, you know, just enhancing your life, maybe, you know, along the lines of, you know, maybe a really ugly mole that you never really liked, and then finally it's gone. I mean, it doesn't change your relationships with people.
Wow. Removing a mole is what she refers to, a sex change operation on a child.
I wonder if she used to be a he.
As Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, said, it doesn't matter if you dress differently. It doesn't matter if you act differently. It doesn't matter if you have surgery. You're still the gender, the sex you were born with. Because you can't change your DNA. They haven't come up with a way to give you an extra Y chromosome or take away an X chromosome or whatever it is. They haven't come up with a way to change your DNA. I'm not saying they won't ever, but they're working on transhumanism, which we haven't talked about that. But there's such a thing as transhumanism. And I would recommend everybody read Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. People say, oh, we're going to 1984, you know, the book 1984 in the movie. Brave New World is where we're going, where human beings are created in a laboratory and their genetic makeup is changed. I'm not saying this is going on now, but this is Brave New World, and who knows what's going to be our future, where human beings are created in the laboratory and given certain genetic traits so that they are, you're going to be a low-level worker. You're going to be at the lowest level of non-skilled workers. And you're going to be a scientist. And you're going to be a teacher. And you're going to be, you know, whatever. And they're all bred to do this kind of thing in a laboratory. And that's called transhumanism. And there's a lot of talk about transhumanism. And they're working on it. We know that there's laboratories that are doing it. Why are you laughing, Alison?
I thought I'd pep things up.
Good.
And play my favorite Christmas song.
You don't have a song about transhumanism?
I mean, that's just getting too depressing.
Too depressing. You're right. It's Christmas coming up. 9:18 with Bill and Allison. We're going to be back with our interview with Gary Kaa, part two of our interview, the man who has predicted so many things that are going on in the world today.
Hill Country Patriot.
And we're back, Bill and Allison. Allison is my current wife. I'm Bill. It's true.
That's how he introduced me when we were out the other night.
I did.
Meeting some new people.
Well, that's my latest line. Anyway, I have some good news. You said the last story I did was a little depressing. It was.
Yes, but it was.
You know, we got to know these things going on so we can fight them. That's the only way we're going to defeat these people, is just resist.
Getting the word out.
Getting the word out and then resisting. We have to resist. We know we're not doing the mandates. We're not going along with your putting perversion in the schools. We're not going along with all your agenda. We're just not going to do it. And enough people don't go along with it, they can put everybody in jail. So, but anyway, some good news on that subject. There was a ruling by the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers Texas and a couple other states. The Biden administration had a transgender mandate requiring all doctors and hospitals to perform gender transitions, no matter what their objections
might be.
Catholic hospitals, no matter what their objections might be, Christian hospitals. Well, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals told the Biden administration, no, you can't do that.
Good.
It's unanimous. You can't do that. So that's the good news. The Obama administration actually issued the mandate more than 6 years ago in trying to force all doctors nationwide to perform gender transitions on any patient who consent, including children whose parents give permission. This past October, the head of the Department of Health and Human Services issued a warning saying it was illegal for doctors and healthcare providers to deny gender transition surgeries to patients. They indicated this past week, they indicated that the Biden administration supports using taxpayer money to pay for transgender treatment for minors, according to written testimony given to the House Committee on Education and Labor on November 29th.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've not, the court says you can't do that, Biden administration, and Biden administration will not appeal it to the Supreme Court. When they don't appeal to the Supreme Court, they'll lose. That's why. There are lawsuits now, and I've said before, if I were a lawyer, I would establish my practice on suing doctors and hospitals on behalf of
parents.
And parents, if the kid wanted to do it, for allowing this transgender crap to go on when the kids are minors. It's already starting. You're going to see on TV commercials like you see today for mesothelioma and, you know, Camp Lejeune and that kind of stuff. You're going to see, were you transitioned as a child? Did you have surgery? Even the drugs now, they don't know what the effects of these puberty blockers are. They don't know if it's reversible.
Well, for one thing, Big Pharma is going to be making a whole lot of money because these kids have to be on these drugs for their entire lives.
Oh, well, there you go. See, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you wonder about what's going on, follow the money. Chloe Cole, who we've had on this program as an audio before, is suing Kaiser Permanente for giving her sex hormones and allowing her to have gender transition surgery as a minor. I think she was 15, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, that is the good news that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has told the Biden administration you cannot mandate sex change surgeries. You cannot force doctors to do that.
Okay, well, along that line, this has been all over the news. Disney CEO Bob Iger is now saying he's sorry for the battle against Florida, and he's calling on Disney employees to respect their audience.
What battle against Florida?
Well, Florida removed their tax status. They were a separate entity. I don't know exactly what it was called, but they were like...
Yeah, I don't either. But they got special tax treatment. They got mm-hmm. tax forgiveness. It's been going on for, what, 40 years?
The entire time they've been there.
Yeah.
So now he's sort of apologizing. And according to Babylon Bee, Iger is vowing to cut back to only 7 LGBT characters in every kids' movie.
I thought you were being serious.
Oh, well, actually, I was here. That was a serious story.
Okay. Well, we promise you,
Gary. But then Babylon Bee put a little spin,
on it. Yeah. I promise you, Gary Kah, and I got a little introductory information before we listen to Gary. At the World Economic Forum's Davos Agenda Summit on past Tuesday, it was online, the President of France, Emmanuel Macron, said that in the wake of the Chinese coronavirus, modern capitalism, quote, can no longer work.
Wow.
Macron said, quote, we will get out of this pandemic only with an economy that thinks more about fighting inequalities. The capitalism is detrimental to the environment. The world needs to, quote, move beyond the hostility toward state intervention into the economy. What he means is communism. The world has to move beyond hostility toward socialism and communism. That's at the World Economic Forum. At the same time, Klaus Schwab, and Gary's going to be talking about him, head of the World Economic Forum, proclaimed that communist China will likely serve as a, quote, role model for many countries as the global community embarks upon a, quote, systemic transformation of the world. Schwab heaped praise on the communist government in China for being a leading figure in his vision of a great reset to usher in the world of tomorrow. Quote, I respect China's achievements which are tremendous over the last 40 years. I think it's a role model for many countries. Well, I did a little research.
And?
Since 1949, I believe it was, when Communist China took over, when the Communists took over.
I believe it was 49. I believe it was 49.
49 or 47, I couldn't remember. Anyway, 76.7 million people have been murdered by the Communist Chinese in China, either directly or by forced famine caused by their communist policies. A man named Dr. Rudolf Rummel, a professor at Yale University, wrote a book called China's Bloody Century. He's author of 24 scholarly books, and that's where I got that figure. Almost 77 million people have been murdered by communist China in the past 40 years. And what, 50 years, and what Schwab says is, I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous. I think it's a role model. So this, and these are the guys that want to reduce the population mm-hmm. tremendously. You know, it's genocide is what they want because they think, because they want total control. And it's easier to control a smaller population.
And I think you probably know that my mother worked during World War II as a civilian at the Pentagon for the man who coined the term genocide.
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
He wrote a book in which he used the term genocide.
And that was the first time anybody had ever heard the word. He made mm-hmm. it up.
Yeah, he was a Polish Jew who had come to America.
Well, good for us Poles. There you go. Okay, let's hear what Gary Kaa has to say about the World Economic Forum and what's going on, Klaus Schwab, and what's going on in the world.
Our very special guest today is Gary Kaa. His background is quite extensive. He's the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist with the Indiana government. He's authored numerous books bringing a biblical perspective to world events. And in fact, he just returned from meetings in Europe, and that's kind of the lead in that I have. Gary, welcome to the Bill and Allison Show.
Welcome, Gary.
Hey, it's good to be with you again.
Thank you. Well, you just got back from meetings in Europe, so I'm going to ask you, who do you think are some of the major players on the world stage? I guess they're often called globalists. Who are some of these folks? Do we know?
Yeah, I often get asked to name names because a lot of times we talk generally about, you know, the trend toward globalism, but who are some of the people behind this who really wield some power and influence? And so I put together just a short list. It's not a complete list by any stretch, but just to give people an idea, I'll start with Klaus Schwab, who, of course, is the founder and director of the World Economic Forum, and I'll come back to that in a moment. Bill Gates, who also is a major player in that World Economic Forum, as is George Soros. And some other names, Yuval Noah Harari, well-known transhumanist out of Israel, who's causing all kinds of problems. Justin Trudeau, who's a darling of the World Economic Forum in many regards, very close to Klaus Schwab. You've got, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I had this loud beep in my phone. I'm sorry, you'll have to edit that out. Okay. I thought I was
We did not hear it.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, I'll keep going after Justin Trudeau, so I'll just keep going here. I'll pause for a moment. Also, most of the Biden administration is committed to the globalist agenda. The Rockefeller, Carnegie, Ford Consortium of Foundations, various leaders of the United Nations, pretty much everybody near the top of the UN, including the head of the World Health Organization, for example, various leaders of the European Union, the Club of Rome, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, all of them working together. You've got some of your central bankers, the bulk of your television, print, and social media magnates, much of our education establishment, and also certain institutional investment conglomerates, such as BlackRock, all of them pushing this globalist agenda. But it doesn't stop there. You also have numerous religious leaders, including some from the World Council of Churches, along with what I call High Freemasonry or Illuminized Freemasonry. So these are just a few of the institutions and key figures involved in this, and it kind of branches out from there. The people in the higher levels of this, I think, understand where they're wanting to take things. But if you go down a step or two, you have people who don't see the whole picture. They're just doing their part, and they think they're helping maybe to make the world a better place. I've often likened it to a major corporation. Let's just randomly take Chrysler Corporation. So you've got the president on top and the immediate people around him. They know where they want to be with the company 5 to 10 years down the road. And then you've got the people underneath them and those in middle management that are kind of overseeing their areas. They don't see necessarily the entire picture, but they see part of it. And as long as they do a good job, they're left alone. They get promoted and so forth. And then at the bottom, you have the assembly line workers. They're just coming to work every day doing their job and want to benefit the company in whatever way they can, because they know if they do, you know, their job will be secure and they'll do well. It's kind of like that within this globalist movement, almost like a pyramid kind structure. But underneath it all, or I should say on top of it all, at the highest levels of it, the ultimate motivation is religious, and we can get into that later on, but I believe people make a mistake when they view it all as being strictly political or for the sake of economic power and control. These people need that kind of control to do what they want to do and to take the world in the direction they want to take it in, which ultimately it's an occultic, luciferic agenda. And I may be insulting some people's intelligence here, because some people would say, you've got to be kidding. Talk about these people being Lucifer worshipers. Well, some of them are. Some of them are. And I've actually read out of some of their books. And in my book, In Roots of Global Occupation, I give you page numbers and everything out of their books where they come out and reveal who their source of inspiration is. But this is never, ever mentioned in the media. And so when people come out and talk about this and document it, people just find it hard to believe. We are in a spiritual battle. That's what it ultimately is. Now, as far as the World Economic Forum, to get back to that, I think to bring it home to what's going on in the world right now with the war in Ukraine, I think the longer that war rages, the greater the likelihood that a NATO member is going to encounter hostile exchanges with Russia. It almost happened recently here in Poland. And if that were to happen, it would activate Article 5 of the NATO agreement, and suddenly we could be looking at a regional conflict or even a world war. And it appears to me that this is what the global elites cooperating with the World Economic Forum are actually pushing for. I believe they actually want a major drawn-out conflict in Europe that will affect the entire world. Having lost their COVID pandemic momentum, at least for the time being, I believe they need a crisis of really historic proportions to sink the ship, so to speak, to completely destroy the old world order of sovereign nation states. The world's current economic and financial system, I believe, has to be brought to its knees before the World Economic Forum's new global digital cashless system can be effectively introduced as the only solution. See, if everything's going well in the world, if the world is relatively in peace, the global economy is humming along, there's no reason for people to change. They'd be suspicious of that. But if everything's collapsing, if the economy is in shambles, if the world is at war, and it looks like this is it, we're going to destroy ourselves, everything's falling apart, then the powers that be can step in with their solution, which is going to be a type of world government system, a single global economic system that they can tightly control. The ultimate goal of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, which more often than not is the term they use to describe where they're headed, is to gain complete control of the world's economy and financial structure, in order to really to install a centralized, heavily regulated, totalitarian international system, very similar to that of China's social credit system. China is the model. And so if you want to know where all this is going, look no further. And China is practically cashless now. They've taken that step over the last 2 years. And so at that point, they're able to control every move that people make. So that's just a bit of an overview of the World Economic Forum, some of the people involved in it, and where I believe they want to take things.
We've been speaking with Gary Kaw, who's the author of numerous books, bringing a biblical perspective to world government.
World events.
World government too, actually. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Gary, tell us something about your newsletter.
Yeah, it's actually a research news journal. It's about 20 pages. Every 4 months we put this out. We've got some of the top researchers in the world that write articles for us, and I typically write the lead article. And we do this because it's really the only way we can stay in touch with all the people interested in this subject matter. Because if I took the time to write another book, by time it would be finished, it'd be out of date. Things are just moving too quickly now. And so we try to go behind the scenes through the contacts that the Lord has blessed us with around the world that we've gained over the last 30 years of doing this, and bring to you news and information that you're just not going to get through the mass media. And so we do our best, with God's help, to stay on top of this and to help Christians to be discerning in these very deceptive times.
And how can people find out about your newsletter?
Yeah, you can go to our website, GaryKaw.org. You can subscribe there, and you can also get my two books there, In Roots of Global Occupation and The New World Religion. Both of those books are full of documents that we've reproduced in them to prove that we're telling the truth, that we're not just pulling this information out of thin air. And those books help lay a biblical foundation to understand the current events, the major developments going on in our world right now. And then our quarterly publication, Hope for the World Update, is what keeps people up to date on this. So we really encourage people to subscribe. In doing so, you help us to exist and to continue to do what we do, and we really appreciate your help. And once you have it, make copies, get it out to people. We just want to get this message out as quickly as possible, because there's so much at stake.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah. And,
I would encourage every one of our listeners to go to the website and to subscribe to Gary's journal, and also read his books.
And his website, again, is GaryKaw.org, and that's GaryKah.org.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad.
Well, this is another of my favorite Christmas songs.
Mine too.
Feliz Navidad. Although Mariah Carey's is my number one. Okay. I assume this means that you've got some information on some Christmas events going on.
Christmas events in the Hill Country that you need to know about and be part of. The Hunt Community Fine Art Holiday Market is today until 4 o'clock at the Hunt Pavilion, which is Highway 39 and FM 1340 in Hunt. So that's the Fine Art Holiday Market. The Ingram Christmas Parade and Tree Lighting is tonight, Saturday, December 3rd, from 6 p.m. at Ingram ISD. And there'll be a parade of floats, festivities, Santa, Christmas tree lighting, carols, many, many other things. The parade begins at the ISD, which is 510 College Street in Ingram, and follows Ingram Loop to the Volunteer Fire Department in Ingram. The Luckenbach Christmas Party is today. It's a bazaar, free fun for the whole family. Shopping until 5 o'clock today. Pictures with Santa from 2 to 5. Christmas tree lighting at 6 o'clock tonight. Festive Christmas music all day long. The Bernie Lighted Christmas Parade starts at 6 p.m. today. It's going from the fire station to the parade's end at River Road. In Fredericksburg, the Texas Ranger Heritage Center at Fort Martin Scott is giving kids an opportunity to see Santa Claus today from 2 to 4:30. It's free. You can also meet Texas Rangers, take wagon rides, and enjoy hot drinks, food, and crafts. Also in Fredericksburg today at the Pioneer Museum is Kinderfest. Pioneer Museum, of course, is on Main Street, 325 West Main Street. Kinderfest is a tradition that's been going on in Fredericksburg for over 45 years. Children age 10 and under can bring a stocking to hang on the fireplace. Then the kids will go in the sanctuary to enjoy a Christmas story and have fun and songs, refreshments. And while the children are away, Santa and his elves will fill the stockings according to the German tradition.
Uh-oh.
So this is a cool thing. Again, that's today at the Pioneer Museum. It starts at 10 a.m. It's not a come-and-go program, so you stick around for that. And also in Fredericksburg at the Pioneer Museum, tonight at 6:15, the annual Singing Christmas Tree. It's a 26-foot-tall lighted Christmas tree. And there'll be a volunteer community chorus, present a concert. There's no charge. They would appreciate donations to the museum. Bring a lawn chair, and parking is limited there, so plan ahead for that. Santa Claus is planning another stop in Fredericksburg today. Boy, is he busy today. He's going to visit with local children and hear their Christmas wish lists. He's riding through downtown on a Fredericksburg Fire Department fire engine before heading back to the gazebo on the Gillespie County Courthouse Square. That's nice, Allison. A little Christmas music. That's very festive. So Santa's going to visit with children to find out what they want for Christmas on the Courthouse Square in Fredericksburg today. And that starts at 10 a.m. Sponsored by the Fredericksburg JCs. And we appreciate that. The Bandera County... I tripped over that before. Bandera Cowboy Christmas Parade will start at 11 o'clock today and go to noon on Main Street in Bandera. And in Bandera, let's get your kids creative. The General Store is putting on a children's art contest. Started a couple days ago. It'll go through the 10th, which is next Saturday. And bring your children's holiday artwork to the Bandera General Store to be in the art contest by next Saturday at 5 p.m. And there are rules for the size of the artwork and all that. Call the Bandera General Store for that. Arts and crafts will be on display. Vendors will be on display in the courthouse lawn in downtown Bandera today until 4 o'clock. The Albert Community Club will hold a bingo Christmas party at 6 p.m. today at the Williams Creek School in Albert. Members should bring their favorite holiday appetizer or dessert, $20 bingo prize, and your beverage of your choice. All money raised will be donated to the Stonewall Chamber Christmas Food and Toy Drive. The Medina Community Christmas will be tomorrow, Sunday, December 4th at 4 p.m. at the Community Library. Start at the library with singing, the band playing, the baking contest, and Santa. Then food and fellowship. Please bring a dish to share. And tomorrow in Center Point, the Christmas party will be in the park at 6 p.m. And there'll be Christmas carols, drinks, and cookies. The story of Christ's birth will be told. And Santa will be there. So that'll be tomorrow, Sunday, December 4th. At 6 p.m. At the Centerpoint Area Historical Association Park on Highway 480. And today you can join your fellow car enthusiasts at Billie Jean's restaurant. It's called Cars and Coffee. There'll be antique sport cars, slam trucks, Jeeps, and project cars. So just start your Saturday off right hanging out with car people. Today from 8 to 3, the Kerr County Hill Country Youth Event Center.
Ag Barn.
The Ag Barn. They'll be from until 3 o'clock today, a community garage sale and flea market with pretty much anything you can think of. And the Hill Country Gun Show today is until 5 o'clock and tomorrow from 9 to 4 at the Hill Country Veterans Center, 411 Meadowview Lane in Kerrville. All proceeds go to help local veteran projects and assistance. And this is, I think, the most events we've ever had. And one more item. The Comfort Golden Age Center is calling all Chili Masters to compete in its 6th annual Chili Appreciation Society International Chili Cook-Off on Saturday, today, December 3rd, a bake sale silent auction. There'll be an entry fee. Anybody can enter. Judging will take place at 2 o'clock today, and festivities run until 4 o'clock. Okay, that's the Comfort Golden Age Center. So those are your events.
Is that all?
Is that all? I'm sorry. Is that all? Yeah, there is. There is. I got, as far as I know, that's all.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
When we come back, you got to stay tuned for this. The most amazing physical fitness freak you've ever heard of. This story is so inspiring. If you ever get depressed, listen about your health or something. I got a story for you, so stay with us after the break. Bill and Allison on the Bill and Allison Show every Saturday from 8 to 10. And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing.
Sunday.
The Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome back.
Thank you. 9:52, Hill Country Patriot. I'm here with Bill and Allison. We're on from 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings. Whoa. And our website is, of course, hillcountrypatriot.com and firstcoupleoftexasradio.com, where you can listen to our shows. Maybe you missed a show. You can download shows, put them on your favorite device, you know, put them in the cup, play them in the car while you're walking, jogging, bicycling, swimming. No, not swimming. That won't work. I promise to tell you about the most amazing physical fitness story that at least I've ever heard of, and what an inspiration this is. Alan Jones had polio when he was 5 years old. And when he was 17, he was laid up with a back injury so serious that doctors told him, you'll never be able to do any heavy lifting. You'll probably be confined to a desk job the rest of your life if you can walk at all. Boy, were they wrong. Jones was, Alan Jones, he's a Marine Corps captain from Portland, Oregon. As I said, he was had polio when he was 5, and when he was 17, as I mentioned, he was laid up with a back injury. Well, later, as he got a little older, he set a new world's record in sit-ups with a back injury and polio recovery. He did 27,003 sit-ups.
In what period of time?
Well, I don't know how long it took him to do it, but he had to do, he didn't like take a break. 27,000 sit-ups in one day. In one day.
I can't imagine that.
Well, he had he did suffer from a badly chafed bottom. He tried to control that during his sit-ups by dousing himself with talcum powder. But he didn't suffer any ill effects from setting the new world's record on sit-ups. But that's not all. The following morning, he got up early and went on a camping trip with his wife and his daughter after 27,000 sit-ups.
I can't imagine.
He wanted to make it in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he got another mention in the Guinness Book of World Records. Okay, this is the guy who had polio when he was, and when he was 17, he had a back injury so serious that they doubted if he could ever walk again. He swam the Mississippi River lengthwise in record time.
Wow.
he said when he was 27 years old, he says, before he swam it, he said the long distance swimming record is 1,826 miles in 176 days. I know I can go farther and faster. I will swim approximately from Minneapolis to New Orleans. And he did. And he's also swum 100 miles down the turbulent Columbia River in a wetsuit in 35 hours. He led a four-man relay team in running 310 miles nonstop across the entire state of Oregon.
Wow.
So if you ever think about, I mean, what an inspiration this guy is. What an inspiration.
Yeah.
It proves you can do anything if you set your mind to it. He said, I was never all that good at traditional sports. He was at the University of South Dakota. So I decided to concentrate on endurance events. I wanted to see how far I can push myself, maybe go where no one has ever gone before. Could have been on Star Trek.
Like, or the moon?
The moon, that would be a place where no one has gone before. But seriously, isn't that an inspiration? I mean, that's just absolutely fabulous.
It just makes me hurt thinking yeah, about well, that, hearing that.
That too, that too. Hey, I've got a little tip for you, Allison.
Okay.
Save, and for our audience as well, save business cards of people you don't like. See, if you ever hit a parked car accidentally, you just write sorry on the back and leave it on the windshield. I'm going to start doing that. What else? Oh, with tips. Another tip I have. A tip for a successful marriage. And this is for the guys. This will show you how you can show your love for your wife. Okay, never, and I mean never, ask your wife when dinner will be ready while she's mowing the lawn. Never do that. Well, you're staring at me. Well, it's true. Wouldn't you appreciate it if I did?
I don't think you have.
I never have. That's true. When was the last time you mowed the lawn? I don't think you ever have you?
I used to mow the lawn all the time.
When you were married to me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, of course I remember that.
I didn't have a lawn before I was married to you.
Huh. That's a good point. I guess you did. I did not know that.
So, see what you brought to the marriage? A lawn.
A lawn. I brought a lawn and a lawnmower to the marriage, apparently.
Actually, we don't have a lawn anymore.
Well, we sort of do. We have a field.
We have a field. We live in the middle of a field.
Yeah, well, when we moved from Virginia to Texas 25 years ago, even though I am a native Texan, I will point out, Allison is a Native American. And when we moved...
Chickasaw Indian.
She is part Chickasaw. So when we moved to Texas, I said one thing I want is to find a property that doesn't have a lawn, because I was so sick of lawns and lawn care and weeding and raking leaves, which is another nice thing about here.
That's right.
We don't have that problem. Oh, man. Well, I hope you have enjoyed the program. I certainly have. And it's 9:58 and 22 seconds. How about that? Mm-hmm. I'll leave you with a quote. This is Patrick Henry. The Constitution is not a document for the government to restrain the people. It's an instrument for the people to restrain the government. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's what the Constitution is. Of course, they're trying to get rid of it. The liberals are trying to get rid of it. They don't like the Constitution.
That's right.
But as I said earlier in the program, if we resist these outlandish things, they can't put everybody in jail. And so we have to have massive resistance. Thank you, Allison, for running the board. You always do such a fantastic job of that.
Thank you, Bill.
She's my engineer. Mm-hmm. The board looks like the helm of the Starship Enterprise. We'll leave you with a quote. We like to bookend our program with the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. KRN.